Praise the Lord.
Amen.
God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
Amen and praise God. Well, good morning to each and everyone. It's a great privilege and an honor, really, to be here, to stand in front here. One tooth missing. Anyhow, I wouldn't let that keep me back from doing what God wants me to do. Just move a bit. It's funny. You know, this week, trying to get the message finished and Kizaya with her exams, and after she finished every exam, she gave me a call and to let me know how it's going. And my wife over there, Francine, she baked some turkey parts. I sit down on the table trying to munch with this bone, you know, and enjoying it while speaking to Kizaya. And I was like, oh no, Kizaya on the other end, what happened, daddy? I broke my tooth. I run upstairs, look into the mirror. So, oh, no. And it's like this, sticking out like this. I have to go to work. So, anyhow, I built the courage and I went to work. The guys, you know, they let me have it. Some with screwdrivers, some with pliers. Sit here, come on. You know. Anyhow, I went to the dentist and I explained to the dentist what happened, and he told me that you'll have to go to the... I go with the intention that he would take it out. But he said, no, it don't work like that. He said, it's not a factory. I can't pronounce some of the word now. So you're going to bear with me today, right? Because I can't pronounce some of the word. Right? He says, it's not a factory. I said, bro, listen, I didn't come for you to lecture to me today. I need to get this out, right? It is uncomfortable, and I need to get it out, if possible now, right? He said, no, well, you'll have to go to the hospital, do an x-ray, and come back. I went, get it, come back. Myself and Francine went on Thursday. Well, Andy Parr turned up for us. So I said, Andy, I don't think I might be able to preach Sunday, you know? But anyhow, I said, it's okay. We will do it, you know? And Thursday, we get there. Sit on the chair. Dentist turned and he told me, we'll try to take it out, right? But if we can't, we'll try. But if we can't, you'll have to go to the hospital. I said, listen, I'm not sitting on this chair for you to try on me, experiment on me. No, and then when you're done, you leave me in the half with my teeth sticking out and I feel in pain and you packing tablets or painkillers. I said, no, I'm not sitting here for you to experiment on me. I said, no, I need to get it out. If you can't, refer me to the hospital before you even start trying. Don't try. Anyhow, we had a good wrangle and, you know, come to the decision whereby, you know, I'll try and get it out. But Thursday on Friday on my way to work, the tongue keep pushing the teeth. So as I set off to work, I realized, it's out. So I done the job, but I still have to go. It wasn't a good job because I still have something up there. So I still have to go and pay the 50 quid. You know?
It's not the tried to save me some 50 quid.
Well, it's not me, the tongue. Tried to push it on, but they didn't do a good job. Anyhow, never mind. I'm here this morning, and I thank God I'm able to stand before you. I wouldn't let this keep me back, you know, to do what God wants me to do. Right, without any shadow of doubt, all right, if you have your Bibles, just keep your Bible there. And I want to speak to you this morning, and my title is The Power of Positive Confession. But remember, bear with me, some word is, right? So I'll try my best. Positive confession. What are some of the words we use or said about ourselves or family members? Is it good or bad? Is it uplifting, edifying, and encouraging? Just think about it. What are some of the words we use or said about ourselves or family members? Is it good or bad? Is it uplifting, edifying, encouraging? Words have power. And when we speak something, it comes alive. Because remember, when we get saved, we save by the word we speak. We believe in our heart, and we speak with our mouth. And that word come alive. And the Bible text is Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21. You can find that. Proverbs 18, 21. And remember, it's not I said it. God said it. I believe it. That settled it. Because God said it, I believe it. And that settled it. I don't know about you, but I will encourage you. When God says something, it is God's word. And the scriptures say, every word is God's brain. And they are spirit, and they are alive. Right? I just want to use a typical example about words. And I'll use my wife. I have that permission. Right? When Francine was taking our O-levels in our home country, our English teacher told her that she will never be able to pass English. However, when she came to this country, she decided to give English another go. After several months of lessons, our tutor told her that she was an A student. You get that? Remember what the first one say, and now this is the second one. Francine was now expecting an A because she started to believe in herself that she can actually pass her English exams. She finally overcame 15 years of a poor expectation of herself. And you can see the contrast there. One, you will never be able to. The other, you are a student. The both have an effect. Both of them have an effect on our life. So for you today, something may be said about you in the past, and you're still carrying it. What I'm reading from the Amplified Version of Proverbs 18:21 said, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it and indulge in it will eat its fruit and bear the consequences of their words. Remember, we're speaking about words, right? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you and I praise you for today. I thank you for the message. I thank you for each and every word, Lord, in this message, Lord. I pray for a fresh unction of the anointing upon my life and upon each and every one of us here today, Lord. I pray, Lord, for fresh revelation, knowledge, and understanding. I pray that you open the eyes of our understanding of what you're saying to us today, Lord. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you reveal to us the areas in our lives where we need to recommit and allow you, Lord, to minister and to help us, Lord, to serve you with our words in the right way that will bring honor to you. So today, Lord, I commit this time before you and ask you that you continue to minister to me as I make myself available. Use me, Lord, for your honor and for your glory, and to accomplish your purpose, your plan, and your will through me as a vehicle, an instrument, a chosen vessel, Lord, but ready to be used by you. Use me. Use each and every one of us here today, and help us, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Right. Does the tongue really have the power of life and death? Yes. You may ask me why. Because the word of God says so. Of course, the tongue in this verse represents that which tongue produces. And what tongue produces?
Words.
Thank you, Chris. It produces word. It's a little fleshly thing. It produces words. They can either be life or they can either be detrimental. Right. Here is a literal example in the Bible of the power of the tongue. And it's taken from Acts chapter 5, verses 1 to 9. Acts chapter 5, verses 1 to 9. Are you there with me? Yeah? Now a man named Ananias, with his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property, and with his wife, full knowledge and complicity, he kept back some of the proceeds, bringing only a portion of it, and set it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and secretly keep back for yourself some of the proceeds from the sale of the land? As long as it remained unsold, did it not remain your own to do with as you pleased? And after it was sold, was the money not under your control? Why is it that you have conceived this act of hypocrisy and deceit in your heart? You have not simply lied to people, but to God. And hearing these words, Ananias fell down suddenly and died. And great fear and awe gripped those who heard of it. And the young men in the congregation got up and wrapped up the body and carried it out and buried it. Now, after an interval of about 3 hours, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, Tell me whether you sold your land for so much. And she said, yes, for so much. Then Peter said to her, how could you two have agreed together to put the Spirit of the Lord to the test? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also. Right? So this is one part. It shows where the tongue can either save you or it could cost your life. That's a truth. That's a Bible truth. That's a literal truth. Because of lie, you speak a word of lie. You didn't just keep it inside, but he said it. He speak it. He said something, and that caused him his life. So from this scripture, it shows me that the tongue do have the power of life and death, as we see with Ananias and Sapphira. Because what they could have done, they could have speak the truth, and the life that have been saved. But they choose to do the opposite, to lie. He didn't have to lie, because what he had there, it belongs to him. He could have said, well, here guys, I'll give you this portion and I'll keep this portion for me. Right? Because this is, belongs to him. So he didn't have to lie. So remember, words, it do have consequences, and it also bring life in what we speak. We have another one here, right? From Matthew chapter 8 and verse 5 to 8 and verse 13. And it says, the centurion faith. I'm reading from the Amplified version. Sorry. As Jesus went into Capernaum, a centurion named came up to him, begging him for help, and saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed with intense and terrible tormenting pain. Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. But the centurion replied to him, Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed. And verse 13 says, then Jesus said to the centurion, go, it will be done for you as you have believed. And the servant was restored to health at the very hour. So we see life in that passage there. In this case, the word that was spoken by the centurion resulted in his servant being healed. He believed also in Jesus' authority, right? So we see there the two scriptures. One, it end up in death, and one end up with life, right? So it tells me that words that we speak, we have to be very careful with the words that we speak as Christian, because we cannot speak anything that comes to our mind, because I don't think it's appropriate. And it wouldn't be appropriate for us to just speak in as things come to our mind, random. All sorts come to our mind in different situations. All sorts come to our mind, but we need to stop, think, and then speak. The proverb says, even a fool, when he holds his peace, is counted as a wise man. Right? So it tells me that we need to stop, think, before we speak. Think carefully what we're saying in and over our lives. Others, saying to others, because what we say to others, it could take an enormous effect on their life. Because we can say things that is not nice about people or to people, and it could cause a big problem. Because even situation like in the physical life, we can say things to people, they take offense, and it's turned out to a fight. And a fight turned out to something really serious and dangerous, whereby somebody get hit. The wrong place, the wrong time, and they die. When we could have deal with that differently. So it's our responsibility to able to control our tongue. Because God says in his word, death and life are in the power of the tongue. We have the power is in the tongue. And the tongue is on you. And you and I are going to speak words, and it's going to result, it's going to bear a fruit, whether good or bad. But as Christians, we need to speak in line with God's word. What God's word say, we need to speak it. And we're going to get results that would benefit us, and it's also going to give glory to God. Whatever God say about us, we need to speak it. Proverbs chapter 10 says, and verse 11, the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, and his words of wisdom are a source of blessings. But the mouth of the wicked conceals violence and evil. This is an example of it being used in a metaphorical way, describing the object, the tongue. The tongue really is not a fountain, but when you speak words of life, blessings, encouragement, what it bring out such a thing when you think about a fountain, what a fountain produce, you know, the amount of water, the happiness, and everything that goes with it, you know. That is what the tongue do. It produces good fruit. Things that will benefit us and will also benefit others. And it's a blessing, a source of blessings. Right? We see people being blessed by the things we say. Encourage people. Somebody might be feeling down. You're not going to come and try to bring words that are going to sing them deeper. No, you want to bring words that will encourage them, words that will uplift them, words that will give them a hope to go on or want to go on. But you're not going to come and do it, you know, if they're feeling down, they're talking down about themselves. You come with it to, oh, poor Steve, oh, I'm really sorry, you know, but you will never make it, man. You don't have to worry. Just continue. But no. Speak things that will encourage, uplift, and edify, and strengthen that brother, and help that brother to move on. Say about the wicked, the mouth of the wicked conceals violence and evil. Nothing good. Nothing good there. So as children of God, let our words be in line with God's word. Let them be words that would edify one another, uplift and encourage each other. Encourage each other in Psalms and God's promises. What is God's promises? What God says about us and what he wants for us. If somebody is sick, give them the word. By his stripes, you are healed. I will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. God said it. I believe it. That settled it. He said to encourage each other daily. That's what we're there for. Our children, speak positive things to our children. Help them when they come with the negative things. You speak positive. When somebody comes to you with something negative, turn it around. Speak life. Positive things. Things that would help them. Don't go down the road with them. Because when we started to speak negative, we're going contrary to the will of God. Because if God said this, and we started to speak something opposite to that, the Bible says, what is not of faith is sin. Say if we're going to doubt God, what God say, not believing what God say, but we choose rather to believe what our circumstances, our situation say, well, then we doubt in God. we're limiting God. Well, God, hey, I know this and I know that, but I don't think you could really help me with this. So what you started to do now, started to drifting away from God and started talking defeat. Start speaking doubts. Start speaking unbelief. And when you get into that place, you're moving away from God. You're not going closer to God because you don't tell yourself, well, hey, God can't help me. And really and truly, if you believe that God can't help you, he just can't help you because you wouldn't allow him. He has the power to do so, right? Remember, I just want to stray a little bit. When Christ went to the cross, he done what he had to do. Give his life on the cross for you and me. But it didn't mean automatically that we get saved there. No, we have to do something. You have to, A, accept, B, believe, and C, we have to confess. We didn't just get saved right away because of what he done on the cross. Nobody gets saved that way because I wasn't saved. I was sinner, sinner. Until I get to that place, the Spirit of the Lord draw me, and I accept that I'm a sinner. I believe in the Lord Jesus, and I confess my sins before him. Then I became a child of God. But until we do that, we still remain the same way. So the same, right? We have to have faith in God and allow God and trust God, trust his word for what we want. God only moves by faith. Our faith moves God because the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. Not just words of faith. And faith is what? Faith is the substance of things I hope for. Not the things that I can see or I can feel or I could go and possess. No, it's the things. Faith is the substance of things I hope for. The evidence of things I see not. I believe God for £260,000. I don't know how I'm going to get it. I don't have it in the bank. Right? My father died. My mother don't have it. My wife don't have it. And even if my brother they have it, it belongs to them. It's not mine. But I believe in God for £260,000. Now, how are we going to get it? I don't know. But I believe God that he can provide it. I don't know how, don't know when, but I do believe because the word said it. Whatsoever thing I desire when I pray, let me believe that I receive it and I have it. He said it. God cannot lie. He's a faithful God. When we've been unfaithful, God still remains faithful. God said, he's not slack concerning his promises like some men do because he's a faithful God and he can't lie. So therefore, are we going to trust in our circumstances? Going to trust in our situation? We have to trust God and speak the promises of God. Speak life in our situation, even though, not disrespecting Angela, as a doctor, God placed doctors there. They might come up with the worst scenarios, right? But thank God for them that they diagnosed the problem. But let us don't look to the problem. Let us look to God, who can solve the problem. I believe he can, because he said he's the God of the impossible. What is impossible with me and you is possible with God. He said all things are possible with God. Let us don't doubt him. Let us don't doubt his promises. Let us don't doubt his word. Listen, while you're alive and you're breathing, all things are possible. When you're dead, that's the end of it for now. But while you're alive, even if you're being diagnosed with the worst scenario, once you're alive, all things are possible with God. He can come true for you. Don't doubt it one moment, because he is God. And whatever he chooses to do then, that's up to him. But believe him. Take him at his words, because God's words are true. And let us speak them. Rather than speaking doubt, rather than speaking death, defeat, failures. No. As children of God, we walk by faith, not by circumstances, not by sight, not by situation. We're not triers, but we are doers. Let us do what the word of God say. Let us live them. Speak life, because death and life are in the power of the tongue. And when you speak the word of God, you speak in life into situation, because God is our perfect example. Go back from Genesis. He said, let us make man. He speak it. Let us make man. Let there be light. And there was light. He speak it. He's our perfect example. Things might not work out the way we want it to, but whatever God do is for his glory and to fulfill his purpose through our situation. Therefore, we need to trust God where we can trace him. Not our situation. Words have power. They do. Words have power. The Bible says in Matthew, let me just find the right page. It says in Matthew, we will give account to God for every careless words we speak. Every careless word we speak, we will have to give account for them. Because words, they do have life and death in them. Matthew 12, and verse 36 and verse 7. But I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will have to give an account for every careless or useless word they speak. For by your words, reflecting your spiritual condition, this is the Amplified Version, you will be justified and acquitted of the guilt of sin. And by your words, rejecting me, you will be condemned and sentenced. So we see words, we'll have to give account for words that we use if it's not in line with the will of God. In the physical sense, we say, well, I don't really believe it. I will say to you, I respect your views, but I don't agree with it, because I agree with what God's word says about it. If God say that, who is me and anyone else to doubt him? He's God, and he said it. I believe it. Look, let me look at it this way. In a courtroom, a word will be spoken, and that word I speak will either save a life, or it would either cause that person to either be sentenced for life or also receive the death penalty. It's a word. Guilty or not guilty? A word being spoken there. A false witness can also cause one to be sentenced to death. Telling a lie, whether you believe in Jesus or not, but a word being said and it costs you your life. Cost me my life. Cost us our relationship with each other. So words do have effect on our lives. What we say is very important, and we need to think before we speak. Just don't use word loosely, because we'll have to give an account before God of every word we speak. So I have three key points here that I want to reinforce. One, speaking the truth. Use our tongue to speak truth, because we read in the scripture, one's life can be saved. The tongue can cause physical life or death. Words create actions, good or bad. Whether we believe it or not, it do. Because I never really think about that. I used to say to my, when the kids get me upset, I used to say, this damn child, not knowing what that word really mean. It's a phrase that you used to use. But then one day Francine said to me, and that was just a year ago, he said, you know what you're saying? I said, what you mean? He said, that word you use in there, it means condemn. Condemn child. And I'm speaking that word of my child's life. You condemn child. I'm saying it. But saying it with never thinking what it really means. But I'm sending a message to my child. And it's words that we're speaking. So we have to be very careful what we say to our children. So now what I turn that around, because I know what it means, and say that blessed child. Not that condemned child anymore. That blessed child. Yeah. So, you know, even though when you get a report from the doctor, you're not feeling well, I know how you feel. I believe how you feel. Right? But God say, let the weak says, we sing that song, let the weak say, I'm strong. And let the poor says, I'm rich. I'm poor. I'm skimmed. I don't have nothing in my pocket. But God say, let the weak say, I'm strong. Let the rich, let the poor say, I'm rich. He didn't say, let the rich say, I'm rich. Or the well said, I'm well. No. Let this. Weak said, I'm strong. And let the poor say, I am rich. So you're saying contrary to the situation. Oh, Sivan's, that is just being a bit, what is the word, super spiritual? No, I'm not. I'm saying what God's word says. It's the only Bible I'm reading. The word of God is true. It is true. So therefore, we need to speak the things that God says about us. Speak the promises of God. We put our promises there. Why we speak them? Why we put them up there? Why we don't say how we feel? I feel so much that, you know, the flesh tell me someday. I didn't even feel like coming this morning to speak here. That's how I feel. It's not how I feel. I don't move and we don't operate as Christians. We don't operate how we feel. We are led by the Spirit of God. You're children of God, so we need to be different. And even when we're praying for people, telling people that God can heal, you're praying to a being that is a spiritual being that you never see and that you will never ever see. But you're praying, you believe he exists. And you're telling people about him. But then if you started to operate and speak in defeat, failures, and condemnation, how can you witness to an unbeliever? It's pointless. I was saying to Andy, because myself and Andy meet up together when we do our preach, He's a source of blessing and, you know, encouragement. I thank God for his input and everything. And, you know, I was saying to you, you know, we as Christians, we have to speak positive things, right, to people, because we have to, we are the light. We're the one here to carry the gospel, carry the truth. The gospel is truth. And we need to carry it to people, and the world wouldn't see it in the light God revealed it to us. The Bible clearly says that a carnal-minded man cannot understand the things of God. It's like jargon to him. Gibberish. He can't understand it. But there, we, as Christian, children of light, we need to speak words of light and life into their situation and help them to understand and pray that God will open, remove the scales from their eye, that they can see the truth. We can't be like them. We got to be different from them, because God wants us to be different. God called us to be different. That's why you have that conflict, that clash, because the gospel don't agree with what the way of the world system run. No. So therefore you get conflict. So we need to speak the truth and walk in the truth and reflect the truth, because the truth is in us. Two, make sure our words line up with God's word. You've got to send your words out in the direction you want your life to go. You cannot talk defeat and expect to have God's blessings and victory. No. That's contrary to God's word. As Proverbs 23:7 says, For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Because whatever you speak, you just don't speak it. You think it first before you speak it. So that is why it's so important, whatever is in here, before you speak this, we spell it out, think. Turn it around if it's not good. Forget it. Said, no, I will not speak that. I will not go down that road, because it wouldn't benefit anyone, and it wouldn't bring honor, and it wouldn't bring glory to God. So therefore, I refuse to speak that, and I'm going to speak the promises of God. I'm going to speak the truth of God, things that will bring life, things that will uplift others, things that will edify others, strengthen others, and encourage each other, and encourage others. That is what we're supposed to do. Turn it around. If we think anything bad, they get a saying. If you can't think good about others, If you can't speak good about others, yeah, don't say it. No. Yeah. Thank you. So, let us think before we speak. Speaking positively over others' life, family, speaking positive over ourselves, our family, and our future, etc. I'm not saying what I feel. I'm not saying what it looks like in the real world. No, I'm saying what God's word says about me, about you, and about others. Give life to your faith by what you say. So let us start speaking life and faith words such as, I have the favor of God. I can do all things through Christ Jesus. So when somebody said, no, you can't do it, like Francine's situation, no. What does scripture say? I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthened me. That's what the word of God say. So it's not what somebody has said. There's their opinion, and you respect the opinion, but you don't have to accept it and you don't have to believe it. I choose rather to believe what God say. So I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. I am blessed. I am strong. I am healthy. These are positive, inspiring, and encouraging declaration, because it's God's truth. And we live by God's truth. We don't live by what the world system say and how the world system say we should live. No, we're governed by God, Almighty God. He's our perfect example, and his words are true. All right. So I want you to listen carefully. I'm going to conclude here. The purpose of this message is to make us all aware of the enormous implication speech or words can have on our lives, good or bad. Therefore, there is a clear warning of how we should use our words. Let us use our words to honor the Lord. Let us encourage each other with positive and encouraging words that will build us up, build up one another's faith and our daily walk with God. First Thessalonians 5 says, therefore, encourage and comfort and build one another just as you are. How we should live, or that we should say. Yeah. So, I really don't know where people stand today. I don't know what you've been saying over your life, your family life, what you've been saying to others. But I don't know where you stand with God at the moment. Maybe you maybe be praying, asking God about a situation, about a circumstance in your life, your children's life, for a friend, family. And it seems like you just sit in a brick wall. You're not going anywhere. Nothing seems like it happening, but you keep praying. I could reassure you that God is still in control. Some of us start off trusting God, but because of situation, we didn't get to that place where we can see the full picture of what God wants for our life and what God wants to do. And thank God for Andy and myself when he was talking on Wednesday, and he came up with this wonderful illustration. It's like, whoever go up to Darwin Tower, you ever been up there? I assume there's a car park down at the bottom, right before you get up there. And when you get to the top, why you go up to Darwin Tower? The view, right? Okay, right. If you get out the car and you look where the tower be, it's really high, right? But you need to do something to get there. What you need to do? Right. Do you go halfway? No? If you go halfway, what will happen? You can't see the view. You could only see that far. But when you get to the top, you see beyond.
and you see right, see everything. It's the same with our spiritual walk. Sometimes we set off with God, and for some reason, something gets in the way, and we started to move away, and we never get to see the full picture. Or we go halfway, and we've been distracted because of this situation, because of our circumstances. Or some people never try. But God wants us to see the full picture. What He can do. And what He will do. But God wants us to trust Him. Speak His promises. Say what God say. Allow God to do what He wants to do. God don't work on our terms and do it all we want Him to do it. Sometimes we've been praying for years and nothing happened. There are several instances in the Bible with people that pray. Let me use the woman with the issue of blood. Yeah. The woman with the issue of blood, she trusts God for healing. But it didn't happen right away. But speak the word, if I just touch the hem of His garment, I know I will be made whole. We can touch God with our words of faith. Believe in God to do the impossible. Don't limit Him. Because He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we may ask or think or imagine. God is a big God that we serve. And God wants to bless you, but God wants you to be faithful to Him. Trust Him. Take Him at His word. Take God at His word. Are you trusting Him today? Would you like to trust Him? Would you like to go right up to the top of the tower to see the big picture, what God has in store for you? And then trust Him. Trust Him. We can pray with you. There's others here. Myself and others would like to pray with anybody. Or even if in your seat, if you want to stay there, or at the end of the meeting, somebody is willing to pray with you and pray for you and help you to be able to trust God. Speak the word of life rather than negative, condemning words of unbelief and failure, or speak words of life in your situation and see God move. Let's pray. Father, we thank You and praise You again today for these words. And we thank You, Lord. We consider in our heart, Lord, as we hear Your word, to speak Your truth. Your word, Your words that bring life in our situation. As we confess, we speak life over our life. We declare and we decree over our life. Lord, Your blessings, Your favor, Your goodness, Your healing power, Your saving grace, Your provision, Lord, Your peace, Your joy, Your strength, Lord. I pray today for each and every one of us here, wherever we fail You, Lord, I ask You, Lord, to forgive us for doubting You, to speaking things, Lord, that is contrary to Your words and to Your will. Forgive us, Lord. Help us, Lord, that we can get back on track, Lord, as we're willing to do so, and allow You, Lord Jesus, to guide us through Your Holy Spirit and to help us through every circumstance and every situation, Lord, as we commit everything before You, trust You with all our hearts, lean not to our own understanding, but Lord, in all our ways, we will acknowledge You. And thanking You, Lord, for directing our path. Direct our hearts. Direct our words. Direct our thoughts. As we commit this time before You, Lord, help each and every one of us. I pray this and I ask it all in the name of Jesus. Amen.